Blog Talk Radio.
Doing out there, Clint? I know you can hear me. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Yeah, it's hump day. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. What's going on with you?
Oh, just kind of hanging out, having some fun. You know, just kind of just doing what we do.
Yes, that is
what
we do.
What is the craziness? As it's been described.
Absolute craziness. Nothing but craziness.
Well, hey, we do what we do to make the people happy, you know. So if people don't like that, then, you know, they can kiss my gluteus maximus.
Yes.
And all them other big words, too. I tried to have some new music for us today, but apparently it couldn't get downloaded in time. And I'm such a procrastinator that I wait until the last minute to try to get stuff done, but oh well. So what's on your brain today?
I don't know. I remember when we were talking about, friends with relationship woes and calling me and you know, it's total unhappiness where they're at.
Right, right.
Happened again today. 2 hour conversation.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, tell us about it.
No, I can't go into detail about this one. It's a little deep. It means something to me, so I can't really.
I understand. Well, I understand.
Yeah.
There's just some things that just need to be left alone, and well, I guess this is just one of them things for right now.
That is true. What is that noise?
Oh, my air conditioner is having issues again.
Oh, I thought it was your blender or something.
No, my blender. What the
Well, fuck? I mean, it sound, on my end, it sounds like a blender.
Is that anything like a chafing dish, or what's up with that?
I don't know what a chafing dish is, but it doesn't sound like anything I want to wear.
It's something you use to warm food, you know.
Oh.
You put the little candle under it, and it heats the pan, water in the pan. And
I see. I just use a stove.
Not that I would know anything about this, because you know, it is what it is.
Guess what I made for lunch today?
Steak.
No, actually, this was a late breakfast that I'm talking about. I made chicken and stovetop with corn on the cob and a big hot pot of coffee. How about that?
Right, right. Sounds
I don't
good.
Know why I got up this morning and decided to start cooking, but it was nice.
I understand. You know, I did
a steak just a little bit ago, but that was all I had. I've got stovetop left, but I didn't have any. I'm gonna have some here in a little bit though.
Right. You know, I actually heard this question one time, and And I got to raise the same question. Why do they call it chicken helper or tuna helper when it seems to do a good job by itself?
I don't know. I've never eaten any of that stuff by myself. I've always put something in it.
Oh, Lord. Phone lines are open, boys and girls. 347-326-9073. If you want to call in, we're going to go over the headlines of sports and find out what's going on in the big, great big world today. We also got the chat room. It's about to be up and running. Matter of fact, it's opening up right now as we speak. And, of course, we got our shout-outs, birthdays, all that other fun stuff. If I sound a little off kilter and I got caught up watching Madonna in concert.
Oh my gosh!
It was actually pretty interesting.
Huh.
But I got to the laptop like 5 minutes before we're supposed to be on the air.
Nice. I do. That was about when I sat down. Was about probably 3 or 4 minutes.
Right
before airtime.
I'm trying to, and I got this new health thing I'm trying to do. So I'm drinking for the first time in like 500 years. I'm drinking water.
That's what I'm doing. I've got a bottle of this smart water in front of me.
You know, and to be a Walmart Sam's brand or whatever they call it. This bottle of water actually tastes better than some of the Ozarka and some of the other crap that I've tasted over the years.
Tell me what water tastes like, Squirrel.
Like chicken.
Like chicken. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. It said telling somebody why you love them is like explaining what water tastes like.
Well, it's been a long time since I've explained somebody about love and stuff, so I wouldn't know. So,
I'm sorry.
I mean, well, it's all right. I mean, ain't nothing to cry to mama about. Hey, I want you to.
Yeah.
I got a new song today.
Uh-oh.
And this is going to be the new Wednesday song after I play the Camel.
Okay.
I found a tune. It's a tune that has been reintroduced to my ears, and I'm going to play a little bit of it right now.
My name is Humpty.
The Humpty Dance.
Yeah, we were talking the other day to James about when I was teaching classes and we would have a class graduate through. I would take them all out to Lost Beach on a Friday night. We would go have a couple of maybe two or three, I don't know, pitchers of beer, and then we would do a lot of karaoke. And I had a buddy of mine who did. He did that song quite a bit. He was good at it, too. He didn't even have to look at the words. He just walked around the entire bar singing that song.
But did he have the big nose?
No, he doesn't do props.
Oh, okay.
he doesn't do props. We got football headlines today that are ridiculous.
God. Don't get me started on Man's Eye.
But before we go into that, because I'm sure there's people out there listening who don't know, but before we go into that, let me ask you a question, Squirrel. Hypothetical. We'll role play.
Okay. Oh.
Don't
make me wear the dress again. Damn it.
Yeah, you got the wrong guy. Let's say you're working for somebody, right? And the boss, your boss, wants you to do something very specific, or he wants you to get something very specific.
Right.
But it's up to you. Now, what do you do?
I don't know.
Do you roll with what the boss wants? Do you make the boss happy? or do you do something that's going to upset him and possibly put your job in jeopardy? What would you do?
Hmm. Boy, that's a tough one.
20 seconds.
Oh, shit. Shoot. Pressure! No.
You would not do it, or you would not roll with the boss?
Boy, that's a tough question. It depends on the boss, for one thing.
No, we're not getting specific. This is just a simple hypothetical. If you work for somebody and they wanted something specific, they wanted it bad, but it was up to you whether or not you got it. Would you do it? Would you get it?
It would depend on what it is, probably.
My gosh, I just need somebody to call in and so I can ask them a question.
Hey, I'm just being honest.
Well, I'm not trying to put specifics in here, but I would do it. I no questions asked. If I was working for somebody, I'm that kind of guy that if they wanted something specific, I would make sure that who I was working for. In other words, I'm not going to crap where I eat. Right? I'm going to go ahead and take care of people who take care of me. So I would do that. Now, we just wasted 2 minutes to go into this story right here. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft said he is rooting for Tim Tebow to make the 53-man roster, but the decision is up to Coach Bill Belichick. Now, what would you do if you were Belichick?
Ugh. Boy. God, don't do this to me.
I would get Tebow. I would sign Tebow.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I could see that, but...
You make decisions like a woman. I can't handle this.
I'm sorry, dude.
This was so easy. I thought we were going to be able to do the banter like this back and forth. I thought we were going to be able to hit this real quick.
Well,
I would go through it.
So because the boss wanted it, you would go through it.
Absolutely. I would absolutely
even,
do it.
Even though it might be detrimental to the team.
How would Tebow be detrimental to the team?
No questions.
No, but I've already revealed what it is. So now we've got it. Remember I asked you, would you get Tebow, and you still couldn't answer. So how is Tebow detrimental to the team? He's a two-time NCAA football champion, and he's a Heisman winner. How is this guy who came into a terrible Denver Broncos team halfway through the season when it looked like it was lights out Sally and took them to the playoffs, and won a game for him in the playoffs, then they got rid of him. How would Tim Tebow be bad for the Patriots?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But I didn't say he was. I didn't say he wasn't. It was a hypothetical question.
Right.
So I like Tebow personally.
Well, then why is it so hard for you, Greg? Come on.
I wish the guy all the luck in the world. It's that, I don't know. I think I've been hanging
Tebow
around.
Tebow doesn't need luck. He's made it clear that he doesn't need luck. He's got Jesus. That's what Tebow said one time. I'll have to look that quote up. Somebody said, good luck, Tim. He goes, I don't need luck. I have Jesus. Robert Kraft told reporters prior to the Patriots annual kickoff gala, he said, I'm rooting for him big time. I'm in his corner, but I have the privilege of letting Bill make those decisions. He's a pretty good, he has a pretty good record doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think Kraft is implying that if he's got a good record doing it, I think he's implying that Bill should go ahead and keep him.
Well, I agree.
But the problem is they only need two quarterbacks. They've only ever needed two quarterbacks. You know, you send a third quarterback to the practice squad, but a guy with Tebow's talent, they even said this on ESPN, and I agree 100%. I was thinking it before they said it. A guy with Tebow's talent You can't put him on a practice squad and expect him to stay there. Somebody is gonna throw out a trade for him. And I don't know why it's taken this long for him to get on a team where he can be a starter.
Right.
Because there's teams out there. Look at friggin' Buffalo. Why couldn't Buffalo, with the trouble they're having, look at Jacksonville Jaguars. They've got the worst quarterback in the league. He throws the most interceptions or touchdowns to the other team, however you want to look at it. I don't understand. And the problem is they've got a guy on the bench named Ryan Mallett who's just not good. Nobody
he's
wants
got a
it.
Concussion.
Yeah, I mean, how does a quarterback get a concussion when he's it's supposed to be don't touch the quarterback.
I got music to play. Hold on.
Ah, oh, jeez. We've played this before.
Yeah, but it's so good. Come on, now. Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
Jimmy Fallon's awesome.
Even Robert Kraft said it's a privilege to have Tebow compared to uncertain quarterback situations with AFC East foes Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, because they clearly have quarterback issues. I guess Mark Sanchez is still with the Jets, but he's god awful like he always is, and so I just don't think it's gonna work.
Yeah, but I can't think of one AFC team that has a decent quarterback. That's the sad part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least in the NFC, I can think of Kaepernick and Frisco, Aaron Rodgers, Cutler in Chicago, Alex Smith in Kansas City. I mean, at least those teams, you know who their quarterbacks are. AFC.
Kansas City is AFC, aren't they?
Well, they're the only AFC team I can remember whose quarterback. Rest of the other AFC teams, when it comes to quarterback, it's like, who? He's still in the game?
Yeah, right. Yeah, what about AFC's Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Flacco? What's your opinion on that guy?
I like Flacco. You know,
I mean,
is he good?
Do you think he's good?
Yeah, I think he's good. I mean,
what about AFC's two-time Super Bowl winner for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger? Is he good?
As long as he keeps it in his pants, he's good.
That's got nothing to do with it.
I know. Roethlisberger's a head case to me.
I just got some feedback from the banter that we failed on just a minute ago.
Oh, Lord.
And this person said, what is Mr. Squirrel's problem? You bite the pillow and do what the big guy says.
Bite the pillow?
Yeah. Means you take one for the team. You go, you do whatever the boss says. That's
no,
what
no,
do.
No. I don't take nothing. Or never mind.
What about perennial powerhouse Matt Schaub from the Houston Texans? Good?
I've never even heard of him.
You've never heard of Matt Schaub for the Texans?
No, I'm sorry. Last I heard, last quarterback I remember for Houston was some guy named David.
Some guy named David?
Yeah.
What?
That was, I think that was his first name, David Clark or something like that.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about, brother, but he's been with Houston since March of 2007. So,
oh, really?
I mean, clearly there's a huge gap there. I don't know where you've been. Maybe you've been in 1988 or I don't know.
Could be.
But there's clearly an issue here with your recollection of quarterbacks.
I guess. I mean, that tells you that once again, that just backs up my philosophy of, yeah, You, outside of your football purist, who can name you any of the quarterbacks in the AFC? That just goes to prove it.
Man, I can name more. What about in the AFC West, Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, Super Bowl winner. What about him? Good?
Peyton Manning's good. Right. I like Peyton Manning. Let's say David Carr is the quarterback I was thinking of.
David Carr, yeah, I don't remember that guy.
David Carr was their first round draft pick in 2002.
Hmm. Yeah, see, I think Schaub came into the league in 04, and he, I think he was drafted by the Falcons and was Vic's quarterback back then before the big dogfighting ring. What about San Diego Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers?
It's San Diego. Need I say more?
I mean, he's Philip Rivers, though. Tell you one thing, Matt Schaub for the Texans, perennially, is one of the top quarterbacks in the league and puts up major, major fantasy stats. And if you're putting up major fantasy stats, that means you're working on the field.
Right. From 2007 to the present, Schaub has 66 starts with a .515 winning percentage.
That's more than half. That's good.
So there you go. I can go with that. Okay. I'm not going to say he sucks. I'm just going to say I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he puts up a lot of stats. I don't know. You know, last year, Squirrel, I know, dude, if you did fantasy football, you would know damn near everybody in the league because you would either have them on your team or you would play against them week after week after week. And last year I had the Texans defense. I had the Texans and the Ravens defense. They put up huge points for me all year. And I rotated between first, tied for first, and second all season. And I think my stepdaughter had Matt Schaub as her quarterback. And he was always putting points up, always.
Right, right. Okay.
So it was good stuff.
And now I'm going to give you the 411 on David Carr, since that was the last Texans quarterback I remember. Mm-hmm. He played from 2002 to 2006, 75 starts, 22 wins and 53 losses.
And you remember that guy?
And because he was their first quarterback. That's why I remember him, because he was their first quarterback when they started up the new franchise.
Unbelievable. So, you only remember the bad, Squirrel. Speaking of the bad, former New York Jets golden boy Joe Namath has joined the chorus of critics calling out coach Rex Ryan for Mark Sanchez's injury. Long on wisdom and perspective and seldom short on how he expresses it, the 70-year-old Namath says Ryan's decision to play Sanchez in the fourth quarter of Saturday's preseason game against the Giants was senseless. Joe Namath said, you do not put your quarterback in there in that situation, not the guy that's probably going to be your starter behind a makeshift offensive line in a preseason game. He said, come on, there's no rhyme or reason to that. Now, remember when the Bills were looking for we thought the Bills were going to pick up Geno Smith, and they ended up going for A.J. Manuel. Do you remember that?
Yes, I
they,
do.
We thought they were going to take Geno Smith from the from West Virginia, but they ended up going with that guy that OU put a spanking on. Well, they put a spanking on Geno Smith, too, at West Virginia, but we put a spanking on Florida State and E.J. Manuel. And I always wondered, where the hell is Geno Smith? Geno Smith is with the New York Jets.
Okay.
But he's injured, too. He's got a bruised throwing shoulder. He was hit by a Giants defensive lineman. Sanchez has been listed as day-to-day, and his availability for the Jets season opener, September 8th against Tampa Bay, is in doubt. Joe Namath said, I wish Rex Ryan would just say, it was wrong, I made a mistake. But instead, he was talking about the competitive feelings of wanting to win. That's just beating around the bush. That's kind of ridiculous, to me anyway, I think. When you, it's preseason, man. You just don't put your third-string offensive line in and then put your starting quarterback behind him. I mean, these were guys that clearly were not top draft picks. They were probably some more walk-ons, like we talked about the other day. And you just don't throw these guys in there and then put your starting quarterback behind him. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and that, you know, that's always been my philosophy. And I think that's why so many of these hot shot quarterbacks outside of a Cam Newton, RG3, I think that's why so many of these so-called hot shot quarterbacks that have come out of college, that's why they have inevitably ended up failing, because it's always been my philosophy that their first couple of seasons, they need to be carrying a clipboard.
Are you talking about these rookies?
I'm talking about rookies.
So you think rookies should be carrying a clipboard their first year?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Last year, no, just work with me here. Last year, who was Washington's second string quarterback? Who was their backup when RG3 was starting?
I don't remember.
All right, point taken. 2 years ago, actually, I guess now 3 years ago, Cam Newton starting for the Panthers. Who was their second string quarterback?
I couldn't tell you.
All right, a couple years ago, Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck, rookie quarterback. Who was their backup quarterback?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, Tennessee Titans last year. Jake Locker, starting quarterback. Who was second string?
Tennessee still got a team?
Yeah. My point is, and you're helping me make my point. I'm not trying to make you look bad. My point is, they had nobody. They had nobody that was – you know, you could take Ryan Mallett's situation. Ryan Mallett was in a great situation. Aaron Rodgers was in a great situation. You got a guy – you got Super Bowl winners, Brett Favre and Tom Brady. You have rookies come in like Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Mallett. You put them on the bench with a clipboard. That's when you put guys on the bench with a clipboard. You can't take these teams who do nothing, these non-powerhouse teams, like Carolina, like Washington, people who need all the freaking help they can get. And you don't take Heisman winners and put them on the bench with a clipboard.
But
you
know, like
Aaron Rodgers, okay. Aaron Rodgers, not a Heisman winner. Ryan Mallett, not even close to a Heisman winner. You put those guys on the bench. You don't take RG3. You don't take Cam Newton. You don't put them on the bench.
But that's what I said. Unless they're freaks like RG3 and Cam Newton, you know.
Yeah, but how did we know they were freaks? Look at Andrew Luck. Well, they ended up proving it, but they had to be put in the starting quarterback position before they could prove anything. Now you look on the flip-flop, you look at Andrew Luck. Did Andrew Luck win a Heisman, or did he come in second?
I don't remember.
Hell, I can't remember. That's something we're going to have to look up. But you take somebody like that. He was in the running for it. If he didn't win it, then he was definitely – in the running for it. But you take somebody like that, you put him in the okay, no, he did not win the Heisman. He was second again.
Right.
He came in second twice. That may be behind Tebow. I can't remember. No, he lost out to Robert Griffin III. And before that, I don't know who it was. 2011, I don't know who it was. But you know, you take guys like that who are clearly in the running for a Heisman, and you throw them in a starting quarterback position because, you know, he did great. I mean, Stanford was wonderful when Harbaugh was down there, and you could have easily said, just like everybody did, that Andrew Luck was just going to be a powerhouse in the NFL. He came in and threw more picks than Tony Romo, and that's hard to do because Romo sucks.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a crapshoot. You never know when somebody's going to be good. You know, this college ball, yeah, I was watching a video on ESPN earlier today about this player, this top five high school football player. You know, for some people, it's easy to be good when you're in high school. It's not hard sometimes. Like when I played baseball, I won a gold glove on my team. That doesn't mean I'm the best baseball player we got. But, you know, you take some of these guys and you can try to rank them and do whatever you want. But when you move them to the next level, total crapshoot. You never know what they're going to do. Who was that running back? Maurice Clarett from Ohio State. This guy raised all kinds of hell about leaving college football and going pro. He was finally able to do it. He gets on a pro team. He's been in prison for the last 5 years. You know, it's just one of them things. He crapped out. He didn't do worth a dump. And you never know. It's hard to put these guys in a starting position or to put them on the bench with a clipboard, no matter who they are, no matter if they're powerhouses in college or not. It's a crapshoot. It's hard to move them up to the next level and expect greatness. But you look at RG3 with the Redskins. I mean,
takes them
to the playoffs. I mean, I don't even know when the last time the freaking Redskins were in the playoffs. I can't even count back that far.
I've lost fan. We got a caller on the line. We got Yankees fan calling in today to the Greg Skrull Show. What do you got on your mind, Yankees fan?
Oh, you know, I'm wondering, have you guys heard anything on that Johnny Manziel?
Yeah,
Johnny Manziel.
It's a crappy situation. I got the story up right here. He'll start the season on the bench, but here's the kicker to it. He's been suspended for the first half of Saturday's season opener against Rice. An agreement between the NCAA and Texas A&M closes the book on Manziel's recent issue. So this is over and done with. He sits out for a half a game, which a buddy of mine described it to me. It's like giving a fat kid a head start in a foot race against Usain Bolt. They're going to come back and win this. There's no way Texas A&M is going to lose to Rice, no matter if Manziel sits on the bench for half a game or the entire game. So it's kind of ridiculous.
It's basically like slapping him on the hand, says, okay, here you go, here's your punishment, don't do it again. It's like, really? Come on. If it had been anybody else, he would have been slammed. They would have been slammed to the wall.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Yankees fan, did you see Robinson Cano had to leave yesterday's game after he got hit in the hand by a pitch? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. He's my favorite player too, and now I'm like, I don't know I haven't checked if he's all right or not. I hope he is.
He was initially diagnosed with a contusion, sent to the hospital. X-rays were negative for breaks. So they asked when he was expected to return, and they think that it's going to be Friday's home game against Baltimore. It's just swollen right now, so they're going to let the swelling go down, and then I think they're going to put him in.
Well, I guess that's good. Then you know, to take a few days off. You know, that's all right. So, yeah.
Good stuff. You got anything else for us, there, buddy?
Well, what kind of sports do you guys talk about?
We talk about everything.
Yes.
Well, what sports do you talk about the most?
Oof.
Barking dogs.
You know, some days, man, honestly, it's NFL. Some days it's, you know, baseball. You know, most of the time it's MMA and boxing because Squirrel and I are both involved with MMA. And so, you know, but you never can tell. I have a radio show that's strictly about MMA. It's about the company that I work with. And but then I come on here at 4 o'clock. And we just talk about it all. So,
all right. Then I got some. All right. What is your World Series prediction?
Ooh.
You go first, Squirrel.
Oh wow. Too bad I can't pick two teams out of the same league. Because if you were to ask me that right now, I'd be saying Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
Right.
But now I thought that too, but now I think the Dodgers.
Yeah. Dodgers are cup.
The Dodgers are cooling down a little bit. I watched the Dodgers and the Cubs last night. It was on late last night. I was talking to a girl on the phone. She got mad and wanted to get off the phone because I was watching a guy overthrow to first base. So it was ridiculous. But the Dodgers are cooling down a little bit. Here's my prediction, is Boston and Atlanta. I think the Red Sox and the Braves are going to be in the World Series this year. I don't think anybody is going to be able to touch them.
All right.
So there you go.
All right, thank you.
All right, what do you think? Before you go, what's your prediction?
Oh, my prediction. All right. I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, but I know they're not that much far out. I guess they're only 3.5. To be honest, I don't think they're gonna make it to the playoffs. But I think that Detroit is gonna be in the World Series, and I'd like to see Pittsburgh in there. I don't think it's gonna happen. They haven't been playing as great as they were in the beginning of the season, just like the past few years. But I really think it's gonna be Detroit against the Dodgers.
Nice pick.
Nice pick. Yeah, very good picks. All right, Yankees fan.
We appreciate the call, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, man. There we go. We got a new listener. There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Pittsburgh is actually about 8 games up for the wild card. They are 76-55, and the next best team is actually in the same division, is actually Cincinnati, who's 74-59, but in other divisions, you got Pittsburgh 76-55. Then you've got Washington with 66 wins, and Arizona with 68 wins. So you know, Pittsburgh's got 8 games on the other teams that are up for the wild card, but they got to watch out for Cincinnati, because if the Reds come up, I think about 3 more games, if they can move 3 games ahead, they'll overtake Pittsburgh for the wild card.
Yeah, man. I mean, but you know, I kind of feel like he does. I mean, Pittsburgh, they started off strong, they've kind of cooled off, and
2 years in a row.
And that's why I'm hanging with the Cardinals, because the Cardinals, yes, they hit that little slump there for a while. But they're starting to pick back up. Matter of fact, they got a 1.5 game lead over Pittsburgh in the Central, and so that's why I still think. I just think it's pitching staff. I just think St. Louis has just a little bit better pitching staff than the Dodgers or the Braves. So,
man, I don't know. I think the Braves have the most stout pitching staff in Major League Baseball, other than the Red Sox. I mean, if you want to look at National League, personally, I think Atlanta's got the best pitching staff. I mean, clearly they've got one more win than St. Louis, but they have lost 2 less games than they have. And you know, I just think there's a good shot. But over in the American League, Tampa Bay and Oakland are in the running for the wild card. They're 74-56. Tampa Bay is, and Oakland is 74-57. So
yeah,
that's going to be a crapshoot too.
Yeah. Oh, going into today, here's how they rank up. Boston in the American League East, they have 2.5 over Tampa Bay. In the Central, you got the Tigers. They got a 5.5 game lead over Cleveland. Yeah. And then you go down to where to go? Oh man, my board disappeared. There it is. And then over in the West, Texas has a 2.5 game lead over Oakland. And that's how the American League's standing up. And then, like you were talking, the National League, I mean, Atlanta, unless Atlanta just gets totally kicked out of baseball, there is no reason why Atlanta shouldn't win the East. I mean, they got a 13-game lead over Washington.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's
insane. Ridiculous.
St. Louis, 1.5 on Pittsburgh. And then the Dodgers, they got an 8.5 game lead over the Diamondbacks. So
yeah, two out of four of the worst teams in Major League Baseball are in the American League. The second worst team is the Chicago White Sox, and the second worst team in the National League is the Chicago Cubs. So it's definitely a tough year for Chicago fans, but the two absolute worst are Houston Astros and the Miami Marlins. Terrible.
Yeah. Speaking of Chicago, I got the scoreboard right up here. In the top of the eighth, L.A. Dodgers 4, Cubbies 0.
Ugh.
And then in the bottom, and then in American League action, in the bottom of the sixth, we got Texas 10, Seattle 2.
Hmm.
So,
hey,
that.
Not to change the subject here or sports, but we do that quite often. Did you hear what Joe Flacco was saying about Ray Lewis?
No, I missed that.
Joe Flacco was talking about, you know, people say that he's boring and not a leader and all that stuff, and he's like, yeah, I don't care. You can kiss my ass if you think I'm boring and all that. I mean, even more reason for people to not like him, which is why he's on my bench on my fantasy team. But he said, you know, Ray Lewis was known for his speeches, his hardcore speeches on game day. You know, coming out the tunnel, they're doing that little raven flock. You're bouncing around back and forth. That's what Ray Lewis was known for, motivation, pure motivation. Flacco says, yeah, I didn't even understand what he was talking about half the time.
Right.
He wasn't making sense. So, I mean, you take a guy that's Ray Lewis, won two Super Bowls, probably one of the greatest linebackers of all time, maybe the greatest, in my opinion, and known for his motivation, and then you say he didn't make sense. And I'm thinking, what kind of – he's – to me, Flacco is a dirtbag. I mean, Flacco is one of the most unappreciative – even if you didn't understand what he was saying, you don't say that in public. Right? Like that, you know, the time that I was on the softball field playing for the company softball team. I'd take about 150-mile-an-hour line drive off the kneecap, and all I did was walk around. It was probably it was worse than a kidney stone. It was worse pain, probably the worst pain I've ever had.
I don't know about that.
I've had both. And I can tell you right now, when you take about 100-mile-an-hour line drive off the kneecap, off the cap, it rattles everything in your leg, and it hits every nerve from your hip to your toes. And you know, but you don't want to let everybody know that you're hurt. You don't want to let anybody know that you're hurt. I just started taking steps, slowly but surely, walking it off. Didn't want the other team to know. That's like Joe Flacco. Even if it hurts, even if you don't understand the guy, you don't run out and tell everybody that the guy doesn't make sense. You don't disrespect Ray Lewis. I mean, he will kill you.
Oh, yeah. He'll bite your head off just for the fun of it.
No, I mean, seriously, he'll kill you. He's killed somebody before.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't know where you were going there, so I was just like...
I'm so scared of Ray Lewis.
So, Mike Tyson, what does a human ear taste like?
It tastes like chicken.
You know, Mike Tyson gave an interview the other day. I feel really bad for Mike Tyson, honestly. I mean, you know, he's one of my favorite people of all time. Not for the bad that he did, but for everything that he accomplished. He accomplished a lot. But he has come out and said he is basically near death, that his alcoholism is killing him. And he's only been sober maybe a week now, which this is the start of a long, hard road for him. But he has a desperate need to stay sober. And I try to put myself in his position, which sometimes isn't hard. But when you think about somebody like that and the fact that they know that they have an issue that's killing them, they know they're going to die from it, and it's something you can't control. It's something that just it takes over your entire body, it takes over your entire being, and it's something that you have to hide. You know, and so when I look at Mike Tyson, somebody who's accomplished everything he's accomplished in his life, you look at that and you think, you know, bad things do happen to good people. This guy, he doesn't need critics. You know, when you have an issue like that, you don't need people on your back.
No.
You don't need people hating on you. You don't need people talking bad about you or yelling at you. You need people who are going to encourage you and kind of put you in the basket of love, if you will, and carry you around and make sure that you have everything you need, that you stay on the right track. And so I just hope that he's got enough people around him to help him with that problem.
Well, I hope so too. I mean, I've always been a fan, and so I just hope that he does have, like you say, the support out there to help him through this. You know, so thoughts and prayers go out to Mike Tyson, but it's fun to pick on him and everything for some of the stuff he's pulled in the past. But, you know, when it does get down to it, you know, when you're dealing with something like this, we hope he gets all the support that he needs. 347-326-9073 is the phone line. If you want to call in, if there's something on your mind you want to talk about, we will be glad to discuss it with you. We'll even talk about bloodworms and water supplies and fun stuff like that.
Only in Oklahoma would that happen. Before we do that, there's a new story that's come out. It's going to be in an upcoming issue of Rolling Stone magazine. Aaron Hernandez was using angel dust, had become paranoid to the point of carrying a gun everywhere he went. It was told by New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick to lie low or he would be cut in the year before being accused of murder.
Wouldn't that be considered an accessory or something?
No. No. Belichick told him the year before to lay low.
Okay.
He hadn't committed the crime at that point, I don't think, but he had killed a guy down in Florida. Apparently the references here were longtime friends of Hernandez. They did not want their names to be used. The magazine describes a young man who was protected and pushed by his father in Bristol, Connecticut. But when his father, who had his own run-ins with the law but had gone straight, died unexpectedly, Hernandez's life teetered between great accomplishments on the field and trouble off of it. Hello.
Hello. I was kind of scouring the stories, seeing what there was to talk about, and I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, you know. So
somebody is trying to hack one of my accounts again. I just got a random text with Google verification code, and so I'm fixing to go change all my passwords.
You just go do it there, big dog.
I mean, I'm going to stay on here. I might be typing.
Well, that's fine. Can you believe, it's hard to believe that this is going to be the last year for Candlestick Park.
Really? They're dumping it off, huh?
Yeah. San Francisco, they're getting their new stadium, and they've already got, it's Levi Jeans Company is going to be the official name of the stadium, I guess Levi Stadium or something like that. But right. Yeah, this is the last season for legendary Candlestick Park, and they'll move after this season. They'll move to the new Levi Stadium, and then they're going to tear down Candlestick.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Hey, I got something here for bonehead moments of the week. One of our local TV stations up here, KNWA, was doing an interview with a member of the University of Arkansas campus police, you know, getting ready for the season opener here this weekend, this Saturday. And of all things, they catch a road rage incident on camera. Apparently, right there behind where they're doing the interview, you see the head of the U of A Police Department right there on TV, and these two guys are road raging right there behind him, because apparently one guy almost hit the other.
Really?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I got the video posted on KNWA's website, so... It's like, hey, guys, do you not realize that there's a video camera and the guy that they're interviewing is head of the University of Arkansas campus police? I almost had a road rage incident the other day. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, being a military veteran myself, like you, we don't expect special treatment, special privilege. We don't expect people to bend over, kiss our butts and stuff. But I was driving down the street one day, and I guess the car in the outside lane was going too slow for the guy in the big Lincoln Town car. So the driver of the big Lincoln Town car proceeds to pull right over in front of me. I mean, he misses my car. I could probably have reached out and touched his car if I wanted to.
Wow.
And then, and he had a U.S. veteran, U.S. Air Force veteran. It's like, I mean, I don't know what the guy's deal was, but you, especially when you're driving a big tank that big, those things don't stop on a dime. So, but needless to say, I wish he could have heard me, because I did have a few choice words for him.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, like I say, I posted it. I even posted his picture on the picture of his car on Facebook. So if anybody saw the license tag and knew who it was, they can tell him he's been blasted on Facebook.
Yeah, no joke. That's something people need to be outed for right there.
I mean, did he do it once? He did it twice.
Wow.
I mean, people like that it's like you some of these veterans, I did my time defending this country. Okay, that's good. I respect you for that. But don't expect handouts, and don't expect, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but, you know.
No, I mean, you know, military discounts are cool sometimes, but I don't go around asking for them. I mean... you know, if there's something posted on a wall or something about military discounts, I'll whip out an ID. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I've got my VFW life membership card. I've still got a military ID from when I was in the Oklahoma Army National Guard. I've got an Army ID, and yeah. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'll show them, but I'm not going to go around asking for a handout at all.
I just saw, I don't know how recent this is, but there is a story about Nick Newell, MMA fighter. Nick Newell is different from most of your fighters. He's had over 300 high school and college wrestling wins, currently undefeated in MMA, and he just recently won his first championship. And what makes this one of those feel-good stories is the fact that he only has one arm.
Oh, somebody asked me about that the other day. They said, it was a couple of weeks ago, and they said, hey, Clint, what do you think about this MMA fighter who's only got one arm? And I thought he was kidding, and I said, it's kind of like the guy in wrestling who's a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, which is Zach Gowen.
Right.
But I thought they were kidding about a one-armed dude MMA fighter. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the story right now. You can get, I encourage everybody to go look at this story. It's www.officialxfc.com, Extreme Fighting Championship. One-armed fighter Nick Newell wins championship, and they got the video of it posted on the Extreme Fighting Championship's website. So all I can say is, good job, young man. Do not let people keep you from chasing your dreams. And that's exactly what that man is doing. Have I ever told you my? And every time I see a story like that, it always reminds me of my crab theory. Have I ever told you my crab theory?
CRAB or CRAP?
CRAB, crab.
Okay, no.
Crab theory.
Is this something we need to hear?
Oh, yeah, it's a neat theory. Because because it applies to people, if you're wanting to be an MMA fighter, but you got people saying, no, you don't need to be doing that. It can pretty much, you can put it towards anything. I heard the story when I was pursuing getting my DJ business started. You know, there was the people who were kind of talking against it and everything. 12 years later, I'm still doing it. But the crab theory is you have a crab in a bucket. And he's fine and happy. He's doing his thing. You know, nobody's telling him what he can, what he can't do. So he's happy, happy as a crab, you know. But then you put other crabs in that bucket with him. Well, that first crab, he's doing his best to get out of the bucket because the other crabs are pulling him down, trying to keep him from chasing his dreams. And so that's why I always use the crab theory when I'm an expert, and I think of it when I hear stories like this, because you know he's had to have people over the years telling him, man, you got one arm. There is no way that you can do this. But yet, Nick Newell has pursued his dreams, and he's become a champion. So, there you go.
That's like the three mice in the bucket. Have you in the bucket of butter? Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, the three mice in the bucket of butter, and these mice could talk, and they were like, "We gotta get out of here." And two of them, they all three were swimming, and two of them gave up and drowned in the butter, or it was milk or something. And the third one kept swimming and swimming and swimming, and finally he swam enough and churned it into butter, and when it hardened up, he just walked right out of the bucket.
Oh my God! I have got to go to the fair tonight.
Where the hell did that come from?
you know how we bounce here at the Greg Squirrel Show,
right?
You know how we bounce. Well, somebody has posted Washington County Fair is this week, and somebody has posted a picture of a live camel out at the Washington County Fair. We have got to go get our picture made with the. We have got to go get our picture made with the camel, so on the Wednesday edition of the Greg Squirrel Show, we can put, guess what day it is? Whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop. I've got a picture of Lily Davis riding a camel at the Tulsa Zoo.
Really?
Yeah. Lily Davis rode a camel. I think I've still got those pictures, and they may still be on my mom's computer. We were up in Tulsa when we did it, and when we went to the fair, of course, and so, yeah. Somebody's really screwing with me here, Greg. I just got a second verification text message, and I just changed two email address passwords and a Facebook password, and somebody is trying to get in again and do the exact same thing that happened to me a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we need to find out who this is. I wonder if it's our buddies, our Springfield buddies.
No, I doubt it. They're not smart enough. I'm pretty sure I know who it is because she did it to me once before. But
hey, I got some birthdays here. Do you have any birthdays for us?
I already told them happy birthday, but I think I can look at my calendar and figure out who the birthdays for today are.
Oh, you get on it, because I just spilt my bottle of water, so I got to run grab a towel real quick.
Ah! In other words, Squirrel peed himself. And,
no,
I got two birthdays. Nathan Jackson is a nurse out at Mercy Hospital in Fort Smith, and I taught him in Epic classes out there, and Nathan's a really good guy. So happy birthday, buddy. And I don't even know her last name. I just call her Ape. She is one of my former stepdaughter's best friends, and so it's Ape's birthday. So happy birthday, Ape. And let's see, who do we got tomorrow? We've got, we've got Granny Hulkster's birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, my God, Granny Hulkster. Steven Seagal.
We're definitely going to have to get Granny Hulkster on the show tomorrow. We're going to have to tell her happy birthday and play a little happy birthday music and just have a good old time.
I got a good friend of mine, Trina McGee. She works up at the Washington County Assessor's Office. Today is her birthday, so we want to give a big shout-out to her. Woo-hoo. And then we also want to say happy birthday to Sean Ridenour. I'm trying to figure out how I know this person. The name sounds familiar, but I cannot remember how I know this person. But they're on my friends list, so that's all that matters.
There you go.
Wow. I got another friend that has a birthday tomorrow, too. So we're
starting,
you got
we're another, gonna, you got another friend?
Yeah, hey, that's two.
That's good stuff. Oh, you know what I just figured out? I just figured this out. And this is, I think, on right after we get off the show. It is UFC Fight Night 27.
Wow.
Condit versus Campman. This is tonight. We got it 28-7 against 20-6. Condit is 6'2", 170. Campman is 6'1", 170. There's a 2-inch reach disadvantage for Campman. Wow. I don't know how I forgot about this. I had other plans, but not anymore. I'm gonna be watching UFC Fight Night 27 as soon as we get off of this amazing show.
Hey, I just posted a picture of somebody who had to be one of the hottest females in the 80s, and she's still not looking bad, even at the ripe old age of 53 years old.
Are you still talking about Madonna?
No, not Madonna. Madonna looks like Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt.
What? She doesn't. She's still good looking.
I saw her the other day, and she was looking like Crippy from Tales from the Crypt.
Huh.
Okay, I want to say one movie title, and you can tell me the actress I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Weird Science.
Oh, I would have to think of who's in that. It's been so long. Kelly LeBrock.
Yes.
Wow. It has definitely been a long time. That had the what's his name?
Robert Downey was in it.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey, Bill Paxton played Chet, who got turned into the whatever the heck that thing was at the end, eating flies. And it had the bald dude as with the biker gang, because he plays a lot of horror movies playing the bad guys. I guess the one that really rings out is The Hills Have Eyes, because he's just got those eyes that just like totally creeps you out. You think they're following you when they're not.
Michael Berryman, the mutant biker.
Yes, Michael Berryman, yeah. The mutant biker. That guy is so good in those roles.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but Kelly LeBrock, I mean, coming out of the shower, and it's just like, okay, where do I get my Radio Shack computer so I can be doing this, you know? I still. So, what would you little animals like to do tonight? Sweet. I tell you who another one, who still ranks pretty high on the hotness list with me. Tia Carrera.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one too.
Yes. Yes. I mean, they're
trying to find a start time for UFC Fight Night. I'm going to MMA Junkie here because
they are our friends, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
347-326-9073. Phone lines are open. Get in here, talk to us. We got about 30 minutes left on the show.
Okay. Facebook prelims kicked off an hour ago. They kicked off at 4 o'clock as soon as we got on the show. Fox Sports prelims started just now, so those are on Fox Sports right now. There's two prelims at 5 o'clock. Then the action shifts to Fox Sports 1 for the main card at 7 p.m.
There we go.
So 7 o'clock. We'll have about an hour to kill after we, I guess. I don't know what time we're getting off of here. Maybe an hour and a half.
It just depends on how things pick up, you know.
Yeah, the prelim card on Facebook an hour ago is Ben Alloway and Zach Cummings and Roger Bowling and Abel Trujillo, and I'm trying to find results for those. James Head, and everybody's talking about James Head. Now, there's a lot of fighters I've seen on Facebook, a lot of guys from different organizations, different promotions, who I have gotten to know through the MMA world have been talking about James Head. And James Head is fighting Jason High, Daryl Elkins, and Hatsu Hioki, Justin Edwards, and Brandon Thatch, and Pappy Abidi versus Dylan Andrews. So then the main card is pretty stacked. You got Robert McDaniel versus Brad Tavares. Takaya Mizugaki versus Eric Perez. Then you got Court McGee and Robert Whitaker. Kelvin Gastelum versus Brian Melancon. Then you've got, oh gosh, how did they pronounce his last name last time? Donald, dadgummit, Cerrone, I can't remember. And Rafael Dos Anjos. And then you've got Carlos Condit and Martin Kampman, the two guys we talked about just a minute ago. So
there you go.
That's going to be a good one. That's definitely going to be worth watching tonight if you're not doing anything. 7 p.m. is the main card. And the preliminary card on Fox Sports started just now. So we're 8 minutes into it.
All right. There we go.
I bet Bleacher Report has the results so far. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, check them out, you know. A lot of great stuff going on. I mean, I actually, I'm glad I thought about it, I may have a new sponsor.
Well.
So,
Do you want to talk about them, or is it going to be a surprise?
It's going to be a surprise. I want to kind of try to play this one close to the vest and
cool.
You know, hopefully we can get this sponsor worked out, and so we can get this sponsorship worked out. Maybe I can start invading Florida and Colorado and Hawaii and some of these new promoters that have been calling me.
Yeah, right. That'd be good.
Guy, once again, we got to say hello to my new buddies over at Fayetteville Nutrition, Rhonda Porter and the crew. So, you know, they got it going on. A smoothie for breakfast, a smoothie for lunch, and then a well-balanced meal. And matter of fact, I'm doing my test. What's Mama Squirrel want? matter of fact, I'm doing a test tomorrow to find out what exactly it is I need to be doing to get back down to around 230.
There you go.
Because I'm a fat whale right now. I'm 265. You know it's bad when you're at the swimming pool the other day. You come up out of the water and you hear somebody say, "Behold the white whale."
Now you know I lost 80 pounds at one point, so I mean I can tell you what worked for me.
Yeah, but I don't have an ample supply of females around, so that might not work for me.
Ow! I've been outed. That is true. Now I can't deny that. That is true. And I think people know me well enough.
but for about the last week now, I've been going up. I've been having my smoothie for breakfast, and it's good stuff because I have not. I used to have a bad case of heartburn, and so for the last week, I've been going up. I've been having a smoothie with a glass of herbal tea, and then they give me a shot of aloe, which is supposed to help smooth the innards, and it's working. I ate pizza. I had quit eating pizza because of the heartburn, but last night I was able to eat pizza and it did not give me any heartburn.
Why are you eating pizza, though? That's my question.
Because I was craving pizza.
Dang, come on, dude. That's how we lose weight, is by fighting these cravings.
I'm trying. I'm just work with me. I'm trying.
Well, I mean, when do you want to start? It didn't work.
But I got to do this in baby steps, build my tolerance.
No, you don't do it in baby steps. And I had to learn that the hard way. When you're trying to lose that much, when you're trying to change your life and transform your body, there is no baby steps. It is jump into it. You create a game plan, and you start the game plan, you stay with the game plan, you finish the game plan. That's how I mean, if you need an accountability partner, my brother, I'm there for you. I mean, I'll help you out, but next time you're craving pizza, give me a call.
Okay.
And I'll make you feel terrible about yourself.
Well, I already feel terrible about myself. Hey, guess who's going to be in concert September 12th?
E and the Boys.
No.
Oh.
Is that the same night? Damn.
I think that's what you said.
Damn. So I can't go see Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh yes, yeah. I'm not gonna be able to go to that one either. I wish I was, but you know.
Guess who else is gonna be up here in the next couple of weeks? Matter of fact, I believe it's the same weekend I go to Kansas City.
Well, I know Buck Cherry. Aren't they gonna be with Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yes, but we're talking October.
Oh, ZZ Top.
Yes, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another good one. Yeah, Skynyrd and ZZ Top and Journey, I think, all three were at the Hard Rock in Tulsa here within the last couple of months.
Well, I'm trying to work it out because...
That's what she said.
Yeah. And she liked it when I did. No. Anyway. Wow. Did I just say that?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. So anyway, I'm working on the road trip arrangements for the Kansas City trip. Because I've tentatively got it set that I'm going to see ZZ Top. and wake up early Saturday morning and drive to Kansas City for the big Strike King Muay Thai and kickboxing.
Muay Thai.
I would, you know, my only advice about that is, if ZZ Top is the day before Strike King, I would not do ZZ Top. I would head up there on Friday night and wake up in Kansas City, because you gotta prepare for any issues, any travel troubles, and things like that. And if you get a night's head start on it, you know.
The other option is here's the two options: either go to the concert and drive up after the concert, because it's only a 4-hour drive from here.
Only, God.
Hey, I've done crazier. Trust me.
Me too.
I was about a couple of years ago. I was dating this girl, and I was in Metropolis, Illinois, announcing doing a cage fight event for Harris Casino, and I wanted so bad to get back home to her after the fight was over. I didn't even stay overnight, and we're talking a 6-hour drive. I loaded up my car as soon as the fights were over. I got to the room. I couldn't get to sleep, so I immediately loaded back up my car, and I drove 6 hours back to Fayetteville so I could be back in town when she woke up Sunday morning.
Wow. Crack that whip. You must whip it.
Oh, by the way, guess who has officially announced that they're separated? Not divorced yet. Not divorced yet, but they are officially separated.
Granny and Papa Hulkster.
No. No,
I've been hoping she would get freed up for a while, because I would definitely move in on that.
Oh yeah, no, Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
What?
Yes,
that's the forever couple, man. You don't do that.
I know, they've been together like 13 years or so.
Well, I'm a fine one to be talking.
Yeah. Hey, my marriage only lasted a year. Well, there we go. Yeah. Hey, guess who
I've been
else
married,
is coming?
I've been married 16 times and never had an anniversary.
There you go. Guess who else has come out of hiding? I forgot to mention her when we were
talking. Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, no, that little bastard. I hate him. Little grunt.
I don't know.
I'm about to post a picture on Facebook who came out of hiding today. She is back on the scene. And after seeing this picture, I'm only saying thank God. So, hold on. You'll get it here. I'm about to post it on Facebooky.
Oh.
People will probably yell at me for being sexist and a womanizer. But I don't.
Hey, people hack my account, my Facebook, and talk about how I'm a womanizer.
Womanizer, womanizer, woba womanizer.
They said, "What were you mad about? Or were you mad about all the stuff that was said?" And I said, "No, I wasn't mad. I mean, most of it was true, but I was just mad that I couldn't get back in my Facebook account. That's what I was mad about."
Are you on your Facebook?
I'm on my Facebook right as we speak right now.
Are you ready?
I guess.
The picture has been posted.
Okay. About to refresh. Oh. Who is that?
Shania Twain.
Are you kidding me? She looks 25 years old. And the body... Is that airbrushed, or is that how she rolls now?
I don't know. I thought that picture would get your attention. Oh, God, here comes the spans already. Craig, why are you posting pictures like that for her?
Right, I know. But, dude, I hate to bust you down like this, but you've got a better chance with Mark Twain than you do Shania.
Hey, a man can dream. Come on.
A man can dream.
Hey, and I got one name, Caitlin.
Whoa, Caitlin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That Caitlin. I was trying to decide between the three that I know down here.
No. WWE Caitlin.
Oh, yeah, now I'm with you. Yeah, that's a dream.
Yeah. But hey, if we're gonna dream, we gotta dream big. Come on.
Right, yeah, we gotta dream big.
Might as well, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your time on the baloney when you can dream about porterhouse steaks. Come on now.
I have never been on the baloney. I would just like to put that on the record.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. And if you eat her or eat it every day, if you ask me, well, I'll say... Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Okay.
Why did we just do that?
Oh, no.
Hey, I did a little research and figured out.
Hey, why do we do half the things we do?
Usually it's you doing it. It's not me. I have never sang a song on this show.
Now, we sang the Love Boat theme.
Well, bits and pieces, but I didn't go through the whole spiel there. I found out how these companies add taste to water with it just being strictly water. No flavorings, no cherry, banana, and raspberry, puckerberry, and all that stuff.
Put the lime in the coconut.
No, we don't do that either. They put... they vapor distill it first, and they add electrolytes to it.
Really?
For taste. Yeah, the electrolytes are how water gets a taste when it's just strictly water.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good stuff.
I didn't know that, but I do appreciate you passing on that 411. See,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only are we a sports talk show, we drop pertinent bombs of knowledge that we feel you need.
I've got another bomb of knowledge here. You can eat most animal livers. But if you eat a polar bear liver, you will die immediately because it will be an overload of vitamin A.
Wow. Repeat that one more time so our listeners can hear it.
All right. You can eat, people can eat most animal liver, but if you eat a polar bear liver, you will die immediately because we can't handle that much vitamin A. It's got too much loaded.
Yeah, because I guess with all the fish that they eat.
I've got another one.
Wow, you are full of it today.
I am. My friends call me a fountain of useless information. They've called me that for a long time because there's all kinds of stuff that I know and I probably shouldn't.
Well, there you go.
So...
drop it on us. What do you got?
The male giraffe will continuously headbutt the female giraffe in the bladder until she urinates. So the male will headbutt the female in the bladder until she urinates. Then the male will taste the urine, and that helps it determine whether the female is ovulating. And if she is... it's business time.
Wow. Today on National Geographic, head-butting giraffes.
Yes. Did you know, also, cats will sleep for 70% of their lives.
I believe that.
That is a fact.
And the reason I believe that is because my mom had three cats at one time. And it seems like all those little fur balls did was sleep.
Yeah.
So, yes, I definitely believe that about cats sleeping all the time.
Good stuff, man.
Good stuff. Man, we've dropped all kind of knowledge. We've dropped some sports knowledge. We've dropped some hot chicks coming out of hiding knowledge. We've dropped knowledge about headbutting giraffes and sleeping cats. And
I've got another one for you. You know, we talk about Las Vegas all the time.
Oh, yes.
And there are no clocks in any gambling casino in Las Vegas.
No, there's not. And I noticed that. When I went to Vegas 3 years ago, I hit every casino I could, and not once did I see a clock in there.
Yeah.
So, but that was still a cool trip. Jumping out of the limousine just in time to see the fountain show at the Bellagio, and the driver says, "Hey, man, don't forget your bottle of wine." I'm like, "What?" Yeah, so here I am walking down the streets of Vegas with a bottle of Matusa in my hand. Or was it? Maybe it was champagne. It was an alcoholic beverage. I know that much.
That sounds like my days over in Turkey. We were in Turkey for about 3 days. We hit a coastal town called Marmaris, and it was absolutely beautiful. If you type in Marmaris, Turkey in Google and look at pictures, you'd want to move there. And it was great. We were there for 3 days. It's where I got my first tattoo. That was in, I think, November of 2002. So it's been a little bit of time. But, yeah, you could just hit these stores and walk around drinking in the streets. It was ridiculous. We had never seen anything like it. And the drinking age over there was 17, and I was...
You know what I'm thinking, don't you?
What? No?
I'm thinking overseas trip.
For who?
Not for us.
Let's do it.
For you and me, and I think I can get my cousin to be a tour guide, because I got a cousin, David Santel, who recently got out of the Army, and he was stationed, of all places, think Oktoberfest, think Germany.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we need to go there.
That'd be pretty good.
I think so. And like I say, I got my cousin. Like I say, he was always sending me pictures of stuff of different bars and clubs that he had invaded while he was over there. So, I think this is a country worth experimenting or investigating.
Yeah. Hey, another fact, weird fact, animal fact here. What do you call a group of, when you see birds flying south for the winter, what do you call a group of geese?
Geese?
No, a group of geese. What do you call
the
group?
A flock?
No. See, it's a lot of people think it's a gaggle. And when you see a gaggle, it is called a gaggle of geese, but that's only when the geese are on the ground.
Ah.
A group of geese in the air is called a skein.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Man, you are Mr. Wizard today.
You got it, man. I'm all over it. A crocodile always grows new teeth to replace the old ones. So he can lose the same tooth about as many times as he wants.
Yeah. All right, brother. I think it's time to head to the house.
Okay.
The imitation Rolex hanging on the wall says we got 30 seconds left. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we must bid adieu and farewell. But we will be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. One more time, right back here on Blog Talk Radio with the beautiful Clint Davis, the gorgeous Greg Squirrel. I just heard half of our female audience barf on themselves, I think.
Only when you said your part.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. I'm hanging up on you. Go home.
All right.
I'll see you tomorrow. See you, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. See ya.
You're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like the rhyme, I like my beats funky. I'm spunky, I like my oatmeal lumpy. I'm sick with this, straight gangsta Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo,